Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
There were angry scenes outside the High Court this morning as the Greyhound Waste Recycling Company applied for orders preventing alleged illegal activity by strikers on the picket line outside their Dublin plant. Proposals for a reduced pay cut of 31% from 35% were rejected by SIPTU workers yesterday. Groups of strikers and their supporters clashed with representatives of non-striking employees who fear losing their jobs as a result of the 13-week strike over pay cuts. Now, for the latest from the High Court, I'm joined by our industry and employment correspondent Ingrid Miley. This has been tense for several weeks, Ingrid, but this morning an increase in those tensions outside the courts, and that even before that hearing got underway.
Yes, indeed. I think that this whole situation escalated yesterday, Mary, when Michael Buckley, the owner of Greyhound, announced that the 400 jobs at the company were now on the line. Remember that 78 of the workers have been involved in this dispute. They call it a lockout, but it is seriously a situation that has hampered the activities of the company. They're having a detrimental impact on the activities of the company, according to Michael Buckley. And after the strikers rejected the latest settlement proposals yesterday, he said that the jobs and the company were now on the line. Now, following that, a group of workers who have been working throughout, I'll call them the incumbents for want of a better term, to differentiate them from the strikers, they took a bus into town today to protest outside the court in defence, if you like, of the company and of their jobs. Now, as you can imagine, workers who have been faced with a 35% pay cut were less than happy to see them, and there were some very acrimonious scenes with supporters of the strikers shouting things like "scabs out, you'll be next, go home you scabs" and various other things. And the other workers, the incumbents, who were saying that they have been subjected to awful abuse for trying to continue to do their jobs. So an awful lot of tension there, and that was before we even got into the courtroom.
Mm. And Brian Lally was outside with the protesters, the incumbents, as you say, and the striking workers, and we'll hear his report in a little while. But Ingrid, what was happening inside? Because Greyhound had come to court seeking enforcement on the injunctions they already have.
Yes, indeed. They already had injunctions restraining people from, you know, alleged illegal activity. And they were seeking enforcement. And now that meant that there were nine workers and one county councillor or councillor who could have faced jail. But when they came in, the counsel for the workers and SIPTU, William Hamilton, sought an adjournment. He said he hadn't had time to file replying affidavits to Greyhound's motion. He said that he hadn't had time to fully view all the evidence that was allegedly there, and he sought an adjournment. The company pointed out that there was now a public health issue because so many bins have not been collected because of what they described as the ongoing contempt by certain people on the picket line, which has effectively created a blockade of the depot and prevented the collection of bins. So there was an adjournment until 2 o'clock, then a further adjournment until 3, and when they came in, both sides had agreed to ask the judge for a 1 week adjournment to allow for intensive talks aimed at resolving the dispute.
Have we any idea what form these talks will take? Because these parties have used the apparatus of state to try and resolve this issue in the past.
We haven't got detail on that yet, Mary. You're right in noting that they have been, you know, everywhere on this one. But clearly the stakes are now extremely high. Look at what has been involved here. The workers have had no income other than €200 a week in strike pay for the last 13 weeks. The company has lost its ability to, you know, to do its business. Presumably that means that they're losing revenue on bin collections. For all we know, they have lost an awful lot of clients defecting to other companies. And, you know, as I said, it must have taken a lot for Michael Buckley to come out and say the company was now on the line. On the other hand, both sides are convinced that there's sort of PR going on both sides. But I think that people today now realise just how serious this is, and 400 jobs are, you know, would be a significant job loss if it were to go that far. So I do know that after the hearing, there were more angry scenes outside the court, but the workers who were represented down here were heading out to Craig Avenue to the depot in Clondalkin to brief the picketers. Now, we don't know what they're going to be saying. I have been asking both sides whether or not the blockade blockade is going to be lifted as a part of this one-week agreement, where I'm told there'll be an announcement later on, and I wouldn't rule that out myself, but equally we'll have to see what the company have put on the line, on the table, in order to secure that concession.
Okay, Ingrid, we'll keep an eye on that one. Thank you very much, Ingrid Miley, there, our industry and employment correspondent. And as she was saying, while those hearings were taking place inside the forecourts, Greyhound workers and their supporters were protesting outside, and our reporter Brian Lally spoke to people on both sides of this fractious dispute.
The last couple of months have been quite difficult, obviously, because as you're aware, there is a dispute going on. But I think the main reason we're here to voice our concern today is that we've basically had enough is enough. With the dispute completely put one to one side, it's the sheer violence, the intimidation and the bullying of the workers. We're all worried about our jobs. We have mortgages too. We have kids. We have the same responsibilities as everybody else. We don't get paid to stand out on that picket line by SIP2 like they do. We are not unionised. 30 to 33%, whatever the actual figure is, of a pay cut, yes, it's not great. But if I was given the ultimatum to say, you'll still earn 10% more than what you'll get paid in a different company, or the alternative of having no job, I think anyone in their right mind would pick to have the job and take the pay cut and still be on 10% more, no matter what your job is. We have a right to come to work and feel safe.
It's a little bit on edge, especially in the last couple of weeks. You know, the first, I suppose, 9 to 10 weeks of the strike was somewhat peaceful picketing. There was, I suppose, blockades. And in the last number of weeks, when we're officially, as I said, the trucks are completely blocked out. I mean, I personally was locked into work. I'm in at work at 6 a.m. I was locked in until about 8:45 on Tuesday evening. I had to pay my childminder overtime to keep my kids. I couldn't get home to cook them a dinner. It's just not nice, and it's not nice being called names. They don't know me. They don't know my circumstance. You know, the guys have a right to peacefully protest, as I'm sure SIP2 would agree. We should respect the guys. You know, they're out fighting for their jobs as such, you know, and we just want to keep ours. There's 300 employees in Greyhound, not just the drivers. And we were never getting paid above industry average.
Baby, I found out that my girlfriend was pregnant on the picket line. I don't know what kind of future my kid, unborn child, is coming into now, because I don't know if I'm going to go back to a job now, because it's just so dirty, you know what I mean? And I called on Michael Buckley to get into talks in the LRC, and now he's in talks now with the spokesperson for the Greyhound workers, who happens to be my father. Hopefully they can get a deal out. You know, we just want fair terms and conditions. We want a fair deal. We want 7 to 8 workers who are locked out to be given the choice to go back to work. You know, because it's tough on everybody. I'm fortunate enough not to have a mortgage, but there's people out there with mortgages and who have already sent kids back to school with no uniforms, no books, barely a lunch in their school bag. You know, it's just hard. Like, you know, all we're asking for is a fair day's wage for a fair day's work. You know, if you're working with heavy machinery, why not get a fair day's wage, you know? You know, because everybody wants to keep their job. But you can't live off labour money when you're working. If you're living off basically social welfare while you're working, what's the point of working? I hope I go back to work. Yeah. People get what they want out of this. I hope it's a good deal for both parties. If the company gets viable again, let's get back to work. Let's make a go of it. Let's make sure there's jobs there for years to come for everybody to make a living, and let everybody have the choice to go back to work.
You should have the right to negotiate your terms and conditions, and once you have a contract with your employer should be obliged to honour that. What's happened here is that an employer has come in, taken over an existing workforce, and Tupi only protects them for transfer of terms and conditions, only protects them for a year, and then he's presented them with a new contract, ripped up the old one, and the new contract, among other things, has a 35% pay decrease. Then, when they weren't prepared to accept it, he threw them out. So that's a lockout. I mean, they're not even on strike. This is a lockout. 100 years and one after the famous one here in Dublin. A very important principle. If he gets away with this, then lots of others will do the same thing.
The signs across the footpaths read, what about the other 300 workers? I mean, there's young guys and young girls over there with families.
Everybody has families and everybody has mortgages. Who is it who is putting worker against worker here? It's not the workers who are putting worker against worker here. It's the employer who's putting workers against worker here. First of all, by ripping up the contract of some other workers, and then bussing these other people down. People have to defend their rights, and actually they're not just defending their rights, they're defending their rights as well. They're defending everybody's rights.
All at this stage I can tell you is that the court case has been adjourned for 1 week. Well, negotiations are going on. So that's all I can tell you at the moment. It's been adjourned for 1 week, and we'll see you after that. Okay? That's all I can tell you.
And that was Brian Lally reporting. And if there are any developments in that dispute pending those talks, we'll bring that information to you before the end of the programme. Brian Lally reporting there.